WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This week, the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction was awarded to Michael Cunningham for his novel, The Hours. Michael Cunningham's early novels, A Home at the End of the World and Flesh and Blood, were praised for the deft way in which they captured small details that betrayed larger emotional truths. One reviewer even compared him to Virginia Woolf. Cunningham steps into Woolf's shoes and her consciousness in his novel, The Hours. Our book critic Maureen Corrigan loves the book. Let's listen back to the review she recorded after it was published.
Who's amazed by Virginia Woolf? Not me, not quite yet. Oh, I know I'm the problem, not Woolf. I want to like her more than I do. I keep reading her books and even teaching them and learning about her life, waiting for that aha moment to happen. Part of my trouble stems from what most critics hail as Woolf's greatest achievement, that luminous, shimmering prose style of hers. It calls such attention to itself. I often feel when reading Woolf that she's tapping me haughtily on the shoulder and saying, "Look at that sentence I just rounded off. Isn't it elegant?" The other problem I have is with Woolf's wispy plots. Gertrude Stein once declared, dismissively, that the 19th century had invented explanation. I guess I'm more of a 19th century kind of gal. I can't help wanting Woolf to spell out more of what's happening in her books. Given that I'm not a Woolf worshiper, it's all the more a testament to Michael Cunningham's power as a writer that I was captivated by The Hours, his retelling, times three, of Mrs. Dalloway, Woolf's novel about a day in the life of a middle-aged society woman throwing a party. Cunningham clearly appreciates that novel with all the fervor I've not yet been able to muster. The prologue of The Hours announces that all intellectual irony is to be banished from this updating of Dalloway. Cunningham begins by imagining his way into Woolf's suicide on that afternoon in 1941 when Woolf, sensing herself to be sliding into another bout of madness, stuffed her coat pocket with a stone and walked into the river beyond her house. It's a well-worn image. Even those people who know nothing else about Woolf know the dramatic manner in which she died. But Cunningham, with the delicate ruthlessness of a true devotee, takes us into Woolf's thoughts and sensations at the final moment of being. "The current wraps itself around her," he writes, "and takes her with such sudden, muscular force, it feels as if a strong man has risen from the bottom, grabbed her legs, and held them to his chest. It feels personal." By opening with Woolf's suicide, Cunningham underscores just how much the themes that preoccupied Woolf in her fiction mattered personally to her. Madness, the limited saving force of human love, the role of women in marriage, and the tension between rebellion and conformity. Those are the themes in particular that animate Mrs. Dalloway, and they reverberate throughout all three of Cunningham's Dalloway-like storylines. In one strand, he pictures another day in Woolf's life, this time in 1923 when she's preparing for a tea party with her sister Vanessa. A second narrative follows Laura Brown, a young mother in 1940s L.A. who's beset by forbidden longings, among them the longing for free time to read Mrs. Dalloway, even as she's making a cake for her husband's birthday. And the third story concerns Clarissa Vaughn, a 50-ish Greenwich Village lesbian matron who's preparing a party to celebrate an award won by her friend Richard, a poet who's dying of AIDS. Cunningham has thoroughly internalized the lessons of his mentor. Like Woolf, he captures and exalts stray moments of consciousness in acrobatic prose that makes their meaning manifest. In his poignant rendering of the inner lives of three female characters, Cunningham also shows that he's cultivated the androgyny of the imagination Woolf celebrated in her famous essay, A Room of One's Own. And yes, I know it's blasphemy, but I think Cunningham has gone Wolf one better in The Hours by tying up his three plot lines in a self-consciously O. Henry-type twist that's as ingenious as it is affecting. That's the most striking aspect of The Hours, its emotional force. Literary remakes are usually more clever than they are moving, but Cunningham's tribute to Wolf in The Hours is so touching, I have hopes that his feeling for her may be contagious.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. The Hours by Michael Cunningham just won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction.